I'm going to try not to go back because I don't want to get stuck in re-explaining stuff that we can read up on our own. I would like to move forward. So let's do this. So Ephesians chapter 6, because this is the last verse that I really want to get in so we can move on. They changed the Bible program in here so bad, and I don't like what they did. You know, I used to be able to just click on my verses, and boom, I'm there, and now it's making me go through all kind of conniptions. Okay. We started with finally be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We covered that. Put on your full armor so that you can stand against the what? What were the wiles? Speak loud. Illusions, tricks, deceit, right? So you're basically putting on armor to stand against something that's an illusion. You know, the question I ask myself, so is it illusionary armor? Like, what are you standing against, or what are you putting on armor for if what you're standing against is a wile, an illusion? What did we decide was where the armor was, or what the battle, where the battle was? It's a thought process. Isn't that where we started this morning? Talking about don't focus on where you are, but focus on the truth that God has spoken. If you focus on the truth supersedes facts, and facts change and line up with the truth. It's always the truth. It's always going to be the truth. So, you know, you're standing there, you're putting on armor that's to stand against a battle that's not physical, but it's definitely the wiles of the devil. So it's basically standing against tricks. The best way I can describe it, because it's physical if you receive it in the spirit. It absolutely is real. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will begin to speak, and you'll begin to bear witness with the lies or the deception. And it happens. Somebody knows it happens, right? But he's saying our preparation is by putting on this armor that protects us from tricks. So let me just hit on a couple of tricks and see if we can make this a little bit clearer. Is that okay? How many of you ever got caught in one of them financial con games, like Three Card Monte or one of those street games where the guys are doing the little tricks for money? Okay, just one. Okay, how many of you ever got caught in any kind of con, trick? Yeah, the carnival, right, because this carnival is full of them cons. No, you don't think so, but if you ever went to a carnival and played those games, especially the ball in the basket, what you don't know is when they let you try it, they step on a lever and it makes the basket lean back just enough so that the ball will stay. And then when they give you the ball to play, they lift their foot up and it tilts it just enough that the ball, unless you throw it in absolutely 100% perfect, is not going to stay in that basket. So you've been conned if you've been to any kind of carnival for the most part and played a game. The difference then, I'm talking, and I want to use something simple like this to make a point. Now that you know the trick, you won't fall sucker to it. Unless you just like being suckered. Now that you know that, every time you go in a carnival and you see them games, you're going, Another case in point. I'm a phenomenal shooter. I know I can shoot. But I've gone to them things, and I'm holding a gun and I'm shooting, and it ain't hit nothing, and I look up at the gun and the sight is bent. Or they do something where the sight's not aligned correctly so that you're shooting. Well, I'm not going to keep giving you my money. And if you say, if I figure out that the sight's a little off, they say, okay, next game, I don't know if you noticed, they always put you on another gun. They don't want you to stay on the same gun because you figure it out. You know, okay, I need to make the adjustment this way a little bit. So every game, they'll say, okay, you're here now. Well, now that you know this, some carnival runners, if they watch it, they're like, ah, he's messing up our business. Yes, because you're crooks. But my point is, you're the devil. My point is, we exposing the wiles so you don't get caught in them. So the battle is not knowing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So once you know the tricks of the enemy, you can navigate around them. You listening to me? So if the armor is the battle tricks, then I would believe the solution to your victory is knowledge and insight. Did you catch that? It's knowledge and insight. It's knowing what the enemy does. I don't want to know what the devil does. No, you shouldn't be studying the devil. You shouldn't be sitting around with people talking all day. The devil's busy, and like church folk do. That should not be your conversation or your life. But don't tell me you're not supposed to know his tricks and how he does them. You should know, because that's how you overcome. You should know. Now, let's move on past that. You're talking about the shield of faith, the full armor, for the strategies. It's not against flesh, there it is again, and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark of this world, against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. That scripture right there could be very scary if you've been taught the typical church beliefs that the devil's powerful and the devil's sneaky and the devil's busy. Hear me out. Most of your losses in the kingdom battles is based on the fact that the enemy's convinced us that he's bigger and badder than he is. You need to think about that a minute. How many of you have been through some serious battles in spiritual warfare in your life? How many of you have overcome those battles? How many of you look back now and go, really? That's what I was all messed up about? That really wasn't that bad in hindsight. Right? So, and usually it was a change of mind or spiritual perspective that made the difference, wasn't it? It wasn't the angel coming down going, ta-da! Poof! Poof! Magic! Poof! Gone! Right? Right? It usually was a revelation of the truth. And all of a sudden, this light came on in your spirit. And all of a sudden, what was once dark is totally light or doesn't even exist anymore. Please hear what I'm saying. Because if you don't catch this, nothing else spiritual, I tell you, you got the victory here and God wants you to have this. People love hearing that in church. You know why? Because they want magic words. Listen to me close. Because they want magic words. Brother, I see the Lord speaking in it. Huh. Hey. And this week, somebody's going to come to your life. You don't know who they are, but they're going to bless you. And I see them. And so we like, ooh, wow. So then that week comes and that person doesn't show up. And now your hopes are dashed because you're looking for a magic word. No, you didn't hear what I'm saying. Let me go back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. You're looking for manifestation instead of, see? So you can't see God move until there's a manifestation. But God moves in the revelation. And when God gives you the revelation, you are no longer destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen. Let's take this slowly. My people are for lack of. So if your destruction is because of lack of knowledge, what's the key to your victory? Get some knowledge. We make it too deep. You don't want to be destroyed? Get some knowledge on the situation, on the circumstance, on what tricks the enemy has put in front of you to convince you that what you have is not yours. Or you can't have. You got it? So, put on the whole armor, because you stand against these rulers and principalities and darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, all of those powers combined and defined right here, listen close to what I'm about to say. Listen close to what I'm about to say. Are all covered in the finally be strong. This is all the same conversation. The wiles of the devil. Because you don't wrestle with flesh and blood, and then it breaks down a description of all these powers. Listen to close what I'm saying. Listen close. Lord, help me say this where they get it. Spiritual wickedness in high places sounds scary. Principalities, powers, dominions. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You wrestle with these. Ooh, we wrestle. It's going to be a wrestling match. Now, I don't know about you, but let me take you somewhere that will bring this picture home maybe for you like it did for me. Ready? We wrestle principalities, powers, dominion, rulers, spiritual darkness, all this, spiritual wickedness in high places. I used to like wrestling. How many of you used to watch wrestling? Okay, I just like wrestling. When I read that scripture scared me. Because it's me against all of them, and they tagging in and out and smashing the crap out of me. You got to understand this now. So in the vision, one time I was really going through depression and going through some stuff. This was a long time ago. And God took me off in his vision, and he took me to a wrestling match. And all of these things were all around the side of the rope. Principalities, rulers, dominions. And they were whipping my natural black beat. Okay? They were beating me so bad with depression and fear and insecurity and doubt. And I just wanted to die. They were beating. And they just kept tagging each other and jumping off the ropes and landing all on my head. And just, they were bruising me. And I'm saying, God, what do I need to do? And I looked up, and Jesus was in my corner saying, tag me. Hold up. I was like, no, I got to be strong. I got to be strong in the Lord. So I'm staking his beating, and I'm feeling it in his vision. I mean, I'm feeling all the misery that goes with it. And I'm getting elbowed and drop kicked and picked up by both of them and chairs smashed on. I'm getting beat. I'm feeling it all in my spirit. A spiritual beating is way worse than a physical one. And I'm going through the grief of it. And Jesus just kept saying, tag me. No, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm just getting beat. And it felt like it was going on forever. And finally, Jesus said, tag me. And I had enough. I finally had enough. And I made it over to the ropes. I crawled over to where Jesus was. And I said, when I tag Jesus, Jesus is going to come in this ring. And he gonna kick all of your beefs. And I tagged Jesus, and the ring cleared. It wasn't even that place. It wasn't that dark, dirty, funky ring. It turned into this beautiful, shiny, glorious, heavenly place. The ring was like, oh, this is a nice ring. You know, it's like the whole environment, the whole atmosphere, the whole ambiance, the whole presence of they didn't even stay around. I don't know when they left, as I was crawling over to them, before I touched them, just for whatever, but they was out. Because tagging him is owning my victory. And owning my victory, they already know they lost, so there ain't no fight. And it hit me. You've been fighting all these years a fight that Jesus died for and won on your behalf. You're not supposed to be in that ring. You're not holding on for Jesus. No, you're not supposed to be in that ring. You're not supposed to be in there. Thank you for reminding me of that, Lord. I needed to hear that right now. So, all of these things, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, it's an illusion. You're not supposed to be in there. So, he's telling you, listen, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, you wrestle against these. Watch. Darkness is the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and after having done all to stand, and after having done all to stand. And have to, see, and that's what I took to mean, stand, keep standing, keep taking that beating. And then it hit me. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your breastplate of righteousness. Oh. This is not a wrestling weapon. Righteousness is right standing with God. And where is that covering? Huh? Thank you, Kwame. Your heart. Come on, pay attention. Your breastplate covers what? Your chest. Right? Wow. So stand having your blessed, my chest is covered with righteousness. What's righteousness? Okay, so wait a minute. So then I cover my chest not with an assault weapon, but right standing with God. That's mine. That came to Christ Jesus. Come on. This is not an assault weapon. Watch this. Take on your whole armor as we stand against one another. Stand there for having your loins girded about with truth. Skip that. I skipped that. Have your loins girded with truth. You know where your loins are. We had that conversation before, right? The seat of your appetite, the core of you, your vulnerable parts are covered with truth. Pay attention. Your vulnerable parts are covered with truth. Nope, you didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. Your vulnerable parts, your weakest part of your anatomy is protected by truth, not by your strength. By truth. Again, this is not an assault weapon yet. Everything yet is just covering and protection. No, you're not. This is the armor of who? This is the armor of who? This is the armor of who? Okay, so we just saw two things here. I went out of order. Your loins or your most vulnerable part is covered by the truth. Not your abilities, not your spiritualism, not your emotional or physical strength, just truth. What is the truth? Huh? Your loins are covered with truth. What's truth? No, what's truth? Your loins are covered with truth. It's an awkward picture to picture, but I need you to picture it. I am the and what happened to the truth? So my loins is covered with Jesus. I know it's a little weird, but this is what it says. That's what it says. My vulnerable part of my anatomy is covered with him. Truth. I'm the truth. I'm your protection. The word that I speak is truth. So him, the Father, the word, you're protected. But that's where I'm weakest. Yes, that's scriptural. For where I am weak, he is strong, because his strength is perfected in my weakness. My loins are girded with truth. Not strength. Truth. And truth is strength, but we'll get to that. Now, having your loins girded with truth, having on your breastplate of righteousness, we covered that. Your feet shod or covered or protected with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I have to really bring that home. Your feet are covered or bound with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what are we talking about now? Your feet, what you got to stand on and walk. That's where you, when you feel like I'm tired and everything is in your legs, it's in your feet. Listen close. I don't want to stay long in this, but I want you to get to some points here. By the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's talk about that real quick. What does that mean? Think about it. Your feet Your foundation, your loin is covered with truth. God got that. Your righteousness, again, that's a gift of God. That's not yours. Your chest or your heart is covered with righteousness, and your loins covered with truth. So the things in our life that we pay more attention to and struggle with probably the most are both covered with him. Come on, our heart and our stuff. Now, the shoes, however, are covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It didn't just say everything else was, no, catch what I'm saying. Lord, help me explain this to them. Your loins, truth. Your chest, the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet didn't have peace. Your feet covered with peace. It doesn't say that. It says preparation of peace. So this one seems to be the one that has a prerequisite. The rest of them are just flat. Loins are covered with truth. Your chest is covered with righteousness. Right standing in him. We all gained all of that through Christ. But your feet are not covered with peace, but the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's where we start to really like pull into the station. Because what does that mean, and why does that have this thing in front of it? Instead of just being, and your feet are covered with peace. Did you pay attention to that? Did you ever notice that? Of course not. That's why I'm here. Why is the preparation of gospel of peace? Think about that a minute. If you got some answers, I like to hear what you think. Because, you know, I like to make you think it through. Kwame, yes. You have to walk in that. There's a preparing for that. Yes, sir. That you have to study your show yourself approved. You have to get the gospel, the good news in you for peace to be real. Are you understanding that? That's not automatic. You accept Jesus as your Savior. The truth is yours. The righteousness is yours. But the peace, you walk out. You walk out your salvation. So he's saying, there, I expect you to walk in that peace. Wait, that means we got to choose in situations which way we're going to walk. So remember months ago when I said, God began to give me this revelation, I don't want to respond quickly. It's about a year ago now. I want to wait until I'm out of it, till my flesh is out, till my emotions. I want to slow down. I want to just wait. I don't want to, even when I'm trying to be delivered or walk into things of God, there's an emotional way to walk free, and then there's the way to walk free that's totally his spirit. And when you try to do it the emotional way, you know how that works. It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm going to be right. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be right. I'm going to be good. God, help me be good. God, I'm going to be good. God, I want to be good. God, it's hard to be good. God, I want to be bad right now. God, can I just ask you to forgive me after I be bad, and then I can be good again later. You know how that works. You know how that works. So there's a way to walk even out that's in the peace. It's not me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Read Romans chapter 7. The thing that I don't want to do, that's the thing I always do. And the thing I want to do, that's the thing I never do. Who should deliver me from the body of this death? It is there, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because if you try to walk it out in the flesh, you stay in the flesh. That's why I said there's no freedom in condemnation. It can't deliver. It makes you go around like a dog chasing its tail for 20 years. The freedom comes when God delivers. So he says, you got to know that truth, though. You got to walk in that peace. You got to look at that and find that peace. And this is why I hate to keep doing this to people, but this is why when you get these churches that teach the suffering doctrine, it's contrary to the things of God, because it teaches you that you got to walk through hell and you don't never learn to walk in peace and you don't never learn to walk in truth. And then you keep saying, well, God is putting this on me because he want me to learn something. And so as virtue of that, you are trapped in it for the rest of your life. There's no out. So, hear what I'm saying? Well, as long as I got the peace of God, how you get it? Well, the Lord just gave it to me. Really? It's a preparation. Isn't it? It's a preparation. Who has to walk that out? We do that. The word is there. He is our peace. He is our shalom. But we have to choose to walk in that. That means I got to be careful what I listen to. I got to be careful what I let people feed into me. I got to be careful what I let the enemy feed into me. I got to be careful what I decide to fear and allow to fear for the rest of my life and never do nothing about. I guarantee you, everybody in this room, if I don't know all your stuff, but if I confronted you with the thing that you most fear, you try to switch the subject. And some of you I know right off the top of my head, I don't even have to have the conversation with you. I don't even look in your direction because you might get offended just because of that. But I know that you is like, if I start to walk you toward that thing, oh no, no, I already know. I'm free in Jesus. And right away it's like, see, you don't want to confront that. You don't want to confront that thing that you know you fear. So you rather act tough and dance around it. You don't want to face it down. Well, how are you going to walk out your peace if you don't step on that thing which is controlling you and keeping you in a place of fear? So that's why you go to churches a lot of times and you meet them. I see them. I run them. Some of them, we get them here and everywhere. I call them I know Christians. They don't have the I am, but they have the I know. Everything you touch them, I know that. Oh, yeah, I read that scripture. I know because the Bible said, no, I know that. You don't have to tell me because I know. And I always say, who says that? Who says that? I don't care how much scripture I know. You can't tell me a scripture and I go, I already know. That means there's no more revelation to come to me. I'm going with that as far as I'm willing to go. I'm not willing to walk out the peace in that. And I don't want anybody to even expose the fact that I might not know it. I'd rather be in bondage for the rest of my life and give you the impression that I'm free than actually face down that fear and be free. I'm not gonna gain peace there. I'm going to dance around it for the next 50 years. And they get tight. I mean, I'm giving you a scripture. I'm giving you the word. And your response is, I know. Or here's my favorite one. Yeah, that's a confirmation. Yeah, that's a confirmation. I still like, I already know that. That's a confirmation. Yeah, I praise God. Yeah, God already showed me that. So you good. One side down and up, 100% free. No, nothing, nowhere. You don't ever need to hear that scripture again, huh? Okay. So, there's a preparation involved. And before I move off of the preparation, I'm going to say this. Listen to me. Every victory requires a preparation. Don't tell me you know. Don't tell me you heard that. Don't tell me I say that every day. Every meal requires preparation. Every day before you eat, you prepare. Sometime in advance, you go to the supermarket and you buy all your stuff. And you got all your special seasoning already in your closet. And you've learned, if you cook enough, what seasonings you use regularly. And you make sure you have it. And you may know that you have those, but you still have to go restock from time to time when you use them up. So you're never in the place that you so know that you can't know some more. You're never in the place that you so stop. Let he who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You never get to the place where you're not in preparation. Every battle requires preparation. Every stand that you take requires preparation. Get out of this, I already know this, I read the scripture, bull crap. Everything requires a specific battle plan from God. That's the preparation. That's where the peace comes from. Now, the enemy could come with whatever he wants. You've been prepared, and your peace doesn't leave you in the time of a battle. Everything before me, I go before God and say, God, how am I supposed to deal with this? But usually after I try dealing with it myself for a while. You know, it usually takes a while before I tag them. You know, I figure I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in Jesus. I beat this before. God, like, no, you beat something like it, but this is different. These are new circumstances. You need some new preparation. Okay? Did I beat that in enough? Whew. So let's move on. Your feet are protected with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So your gospel should be peace. Now, I want you to pay attention to this because this is thrown out so normally, like it's just, oh, get your feet, get your breastplate, get this, and the shield of faith. Got to have the shield of faith, right? Right? Read those first two words in verse 16. Read that again. Read it again. What does that mean? The most important thing in your arsenal is what? Having a shield of faith. So if this doesn't prove that it's a battle of what's in the mind or in the realm of the spirit and not in the natural, this is it. He says your most important thing is faith. You quench all the fiery darts of the enemy with the shield of faith. Now, are you listening to this? Now, the shield of faith was an interesting verse to me when I saw this. Because first of all, it said above all, and that caught me off guard. Because I never realized it above all. What I didn't know until I looked it up, thorios, is the definition in the Greek of this word shield. Are you ready? It's not a Captain America shield. I always said about the Captain America shield, like, why don't they shoot him in his legs? I used to always say when I see him running, I'm like, shoot him in his legs. They're wide open. Like, what's wrong with you? Go to the side, shoot him in his arm. Like, he's open. He's got this little shell like this. All of this, shoot all of this. Groin down, just light him up. Like, I don't understand. Why are you shooting the shield? Watch this. Thorios is a shield, large and oblong and four-cornered. One definition I saw of it when I looked in the concordance was it's door-shaped and covers from the floor to over your head. It's not a little circle with a star on it. It's literally a door. That's why it quenches every fiery dart. Not the ones that get underneath or the ones that get on your shoulder and around. Watch. So, above all, yeah, you want that one. Now, taking the shield of faith where you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all of them. Take the helmet of salvation. I like this for this reason. I got stopped in my thinking. Let me sit this down for 2 seconds and let's walk through this. Because we got a couple of more things left. We got a helmet. And what else we got? Just okay, good. Sword of the Spirit. So I stopped and I said, well, wait a minute. Why do I need a helmet? Why do I need a breastplate? Why do I need my loins girded? if the shield is this door that covers everything. See, I know, I think like that. And God said, apart from being righteous and having truth, you can't carry the shield. Shield is about faith. Where are you going to get the faith from if you don't believe you're righteous? Where are you going to get the how's the shield of faith going to come if you are loyal, you don't even have the truth? The truth makes you free. He said, without the truth and the righteousness that comes in Christ Jesus and the truth of my word, the shield of faith doesn't exist. It's as invisible as the devil's attacks. Okay. The shield doesn't exist apart from truth. And the shield does not exist apart from righteousness. Did you learn something right there? Look at somebody and say, my pastor's smart. Praise the Lord. Is this blessing you though? This is real stuff. So now, spear of faith quenches all the fiery darts. You shall be able to. Did I say it enough times? With the shield of faith, you shall be able to. It didn't say with the shield of faith, God quenches all the fiery darts of the devil or the enemy. It says, you should be able to. Why am I making that as a point? Who's getting what I'm doing right here? Who's catching it? What you got, Mike?
Brother Ashton, I shall be saying you shall be able to. In other words, I will be able to do it myself. He said, God doesn't need to do it for me. He supplied it.
Did you hear what he said? God has provided these tools for you to put out the devil's dots, not be crying, Jesus, put out the devil's dots. Amen. Hold up, you didn't catch it. I've given you authority over principalities and power and dominions and spiritual wickedness and high places. Everything that's right here that says, it says that. In my name, you shall cast out devils. See, all the same stuff here that we were afraid of, you shall put them out. How many of you in times of trouble immediately resort to the Jesus help me prayer, do it for me, and then get frustrated? I don't know why he didn't help me. Well, he's like, wait a minute, so the story I gave to you, where did you leave it? Where's your shield? Well, I didn't do any preparation in the peace area, so my shield disappeared. Because I didn't walk in the gospel of peace, I forgot I was righteous. And I had no truth on this attack. So when I tried to pull up the shield, I just did more wishing than quenching. Oh, you're getting quiet on the brother. I'm doing more wishing and praying and hoping and a wishing and a praying, you know, as you call it, but it's really wishing. But I ain't putting out no fiery dots. I forgot I had authority to do so. Some people didn't even know they ever had authority to do so. You should quench all the fiery dots. You. How? With your faith. Well, I'm praying for things to get better. Are you speaking to it by faith and telling it to get better? Well, I tried that. What truth are you walking in? Are you righteous? Well, if it's God's will, okay, you already confirmed you're not righteous in your own knowing. You ain't got squat. Say, every part of this armor depends on the other. The scripture says, put on the full armor. You don't get to leave one. I'm a strong person of faith. Yeah, what kind of truth you walk in? What kind of peace you walk in? You fight with everybody in your family. You hate everybody you meet on your job. What truth, you peace? What peace do you, gospel of peace do you walk in? Blessed are the peacemakers. I won't go there. I might make it a little too tight. I just want to just throw that out there. Nobody get along with me because I love Jesus and they hate me for that. No, they hate you because you're an idiot. You're a religious idiot and you're irritating and you're self-righteous and you're a jerk. But I'll leave that alone. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Got it? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This bugged me. Because they get to this and they just throw the two of those together in the sentence like they don't even have any. Everything else has a description. And then you just throw those two together. Like, oh, I'm going to get the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. And I would think, tell me if I'm wrong, that the helmet of salvation would be the most important point. I would think that that would be first, and you would explain this a little bit more than just throw that in there like that. But the helmet of salvation is important. Starting from your mind, yes. Starting in the mind, where you accept Christ as Savior. And then what is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. So, and here's the thing that caught me. Ready? You listening? The sword of Spirit is the only offensive weapon there. Yet there's no description about it and how to use it. Look at it. It says, oh yeah, and by the way, don't forget the helmet and the sword. Got to have those two. Amen. Well, what in your spiritual mind... You already got the smirk on your face, like, where's he going, right? What in your spiritual mind have you been taught the sword is for? Fighting the devil. Fighting the devil with the word. Get behind me. Right? It does not say, and take the sword to fight the devil back. It doesn't say that. It says the shield puts out all of his darts. So what's the sword for? I got my sword, the Spirit, and getting you behind, kicked all over. Satan is back you all upside the head. So what's the sword for? You got truth, you got righteousness, you got, what's the sword for? Huh? To keep the devil at a distance. So you don't rebuke him and he leaves. You just keep him far enough that he can't touch you. Where does it say that? Where does it say that? It is. It clearly says that. But what does it say in this description that the sword is used? And trust me, I'm good with your conversation. But I want to get past religion to the truth. Where does the scripture say use the sword to keep the devil at a distance or rebuke him? It doesn't. It doesn't. The word is our light. Salvation and the word is what we live off of. But notice that we've never been charged throughout this whole description to go into battle with the devil. It said the wiles, the lies, the deceits. So everything is here is designed to make you aware of deceptions. The shield of faith puts out his darts. The word is your anger, it's your truth, but it's not an offensive weapon. No, you didn't hear me. Yeah. So you yell scripture at the devil. And you know what the devil does? He yells it right back at you. You think I'm lying? Didn't he do that? Don't he do that to you when he tries to guilt you and shame you? Don't he use the same scripture? Didn't he try that with Jesus in the garden? Didn't he come to Jesus and start quoting scripture? So that means the scripture without the truth is worthless. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. This is the Bible. I know what religion teaches, but I'm trying not to teach that. That's why he said many among you are just so jacked up. You don't know the truth. The truth is the word is God's foundation. It is a weapon, but it's not an offensive weapon. He didn't tell you anywhere to fight with that. The shield of faith puts out all the fiery darts. Huh. Then I noticed something else. Every bit of this armor is forward facing. Nothing covers your back. Not one thing that we've seen here protects your back. That means you're supposed to never be in retreat. The battle is the wiles of the devil, their tricks, their deceits, their lies. There's a preparation involved. We saw that. It's the gospel of peace. If it's the gospel of peace and that's my preparation and my shield of faith quenches all his darts, I'm supposed to consistently be walking forward to what he's called me to. Remember, revelation beats manifestation. You need manifestation to get revelation to have manifestation. How do you walk through and why are you swinging your sword around fighting the devil? Listen, if I am wrong and Jesus said the works that I do, you should do also. I never saw Jesus fight the devil. He said, shut up, be quiet, come out. And all of his issues lasted seconds in that area. Am I right? He walked in authority. He didn't walk in what we call power. We talk about power. I got power over the devil. And the word is authority. Authority is not a fighting word. You're not catching me. You're not catching me. Power means I have to physically subdue you. Authority means I tell you what to do. You got that? If nobody got that but you, I'm happy. You made my day. Something clicked for you right there. Right. That's the authority. That's the shield of faith. That's where your power is. You, once you know you have your loins girded with truth and your breastplate is of the righteousness of God. This is the word. This is the armor of God. He said, if you want to fight in my battle, see, Lord Jesus, help me explain this to these folk. David went to fight Goliath. The king came and loaded David with this armor. And David said, I can't fight with that. I don't trust it. Basically, he said, I don't know this armor. If you fight in a spiritual warfare, you're trying to fight it with armor that you don't know. That's why you don't win. You're supposed to fight with God's armor. And all throughout this description, the only offensive weapon that's in there doesn't show a purpose because the shield puts out all the dots. So God is saying to me, you know the truth. You know the word brings salvation. Absolutely. But there's no scripture that says we're supposed to go fighting the devil and having word arguments with him, because there are people out there that worship Satan that know more scripture than most Christians. Satan said, if you be the son of God, cast yourself down off this mountain. See, he knew the scriptures. God said, why are you fighting him? Why are you in battle and conflict with him? He's defeated already. Put that shield of faith up. Know that you're righteous by that. Your salvation's on your head. Go forward. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to say in a nutshell. And this, I'm going to wrap it up here for today. This is going to mess with some people. But my job is to tell you the truth, and the truth make you free, not to get along with you. There's nowhere in the Bible that is right, biblically or otherwise, for us to be in conflict with or fighting with the devil. Nowhere. See? Look at your face. You're like, what? I heard that in church all my life. We're about to fight the devil. Okay. Answer me a question. How many of you know scripturally that he's a defeated foe? So why are you fighting somebody who's already defeated? What are you trying to prove? You ain't going to gain nothing. Why are you wrestling with him? When the scripture said we wrestle with these principalities, then he says, in authority, you've been given authority over all principality, power, dominion, spirit. In my name, you should speak and they should come out. Speak. Speak. Not fight. Speak. Speak in authority. What is authority? That's a question. What is authority? If you want to cheat and look it up, you can do that. I'd rather you get the real answer than not know. What is authority? You know how to use it in a sentence, but what is it? The power to make decisions and give orders and instructions. That's what you got? That's good. What else? I'm going to see what else we got. I like that. That's close enough, but there's a word I'm looking for. Say that again. Say that loud. A person who can enforce obedience. Some of you didn't catch that yet. You didn't catch that yet. So if you have the authority over the devil, you have the right to do what? Okay, what is it to enforce something? Okay, but how do you enforce something? What is the, how do I ask this question? No, okay, not that part. You just said it. You mumbled it. You have to be in position, but position to do what? In position to execute it, but I'm still looking for something else. I'm messing with you, but I'm making you go in. Say it again. Delegate is... No, that's what most people do with Jesus. They try to delegate their authority back to him and try to get him to do it for them. And for you to enforce something, doesn't there already have to be a law in place for you to enforce it? So if you enforce authority, that means you don't have to make the devil do anything by your word. The law is already decreed. You just have the place to make him stay in line with it. You got it? So this is, Jesus, help me. This is stuff I understand in my gut of guts. I don't wrestle with the enemy. He's not on my level. Get thee behind me. Not even a railing accusation. But you've seen me talk about these pastors up in front of the church and they start having a conversation with the devil in their prayer. And Satan, we bind you and we take authority. I'm like, why even give him a word? Why even acknowledge him? Just enforce the authority. Shut up. Get behind me. Get out. That's it. I'm not going to do a whole song in the church. Get behind me, Satan. I got you. And make a whole worship song about the devil and how you telling him to get under your feet. I don't get that. So you made a worship song to the devil. Mike said he used to sing one, so he knows. Like, I refuse to sing that. That's giving him attention that he shouldn't even have. You have the authority, and you have the right to say with that authority that you can't be. That's it. It's not a fight. It should never be a fight. You enforce authority that already exists, but if you don't know you have it, you can't enforce it. You can't enforce it. If you don't know the law, you can't enforce it. If you haven't done the preparation to know what your rights are, you can't enforce it. If I put a ton of money in the bank for you to have and you don't know the process of going to get it out, you're going to die poor. There's a process. And in that process, here's what you bring in. You bring in the fact that you do have the truth, or you better have it. You're going to be righteous, meaning you have the right to it. Are you listening? But you are not supposed to be in competition on any level with the devil. Fighting him, wrestling with him, arguing with him, having debates with him, or anything of the sort gives him power that he shouldn't have. You're supposed to enforce the authority that God gave you. Simply to take the authority that is yours and walk it out. Why did Jesus get so upset with his disciples when they said, we tried to cast the demon out? And he was like, oh, how long must I suffer you? Like, why did you not believe? And then he meets this Roman centurion and says, you ain't got to come to my house. I understand authority. I'm an authority dude. I tell him to pick that up. He better pick it up. And I tell him to put that down and move that away. He better move it. And I say to one man, do this, and he do that, and he do this. And if I can do that in earth, then I'm sure you have that authority in heaven. Just say the word. Don't come to my house. I ain't clean up yet. There's some dirty stuff laying around. Just speak what you did. This ain't even a man that's the child of Israel. This is not even a man that has come into the place of salvation yet. He respected that authority enough that Jesus went like, wow. As you have said. And people think when Jesus made those statements, you're not listening to me. They think that Jesus was doing at that point, genie or bewitch. Ding, 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 ding. It's done, brother. Go home. No, he said, you have said, as you have said, according to your faith, be it unto you, as you have said, it's done. You've never seen the thing where Jesus did the incantation to make it real. He said, your faith has made you whole to that woman. He didn't say, I'm going to make you whole right now. Ooh, you got so much faith. I'm going to make you whole right now. Watch everybody. I'm going to make her whole. He said, your faith has made you whole. Who touched me? I felt virtue go out of me. I didn't even authorize that. I didn't co-sign for it or anything. I'm just walking around minding my business. Somebody pulled anointing out of me. Who did that? The disciples were like, what are you talking about? We all touching you. Yeah, and you ain't getting nothing. But somebody got something. You're all waiting for me to give it to you. Somebody took it. Hey. Don't make me start screaming up in here. Say to somebody, we don't fight the devil. You can say do not if you want to be proper. We don't. It's a done battle. We walk in the truth, and the truth makes us free. So I'm going to end it on this note. You have the authority. You don't have it because I said so. You don't have it because I preached a good message. And it was like, Pastor Shaw preached that authority message. You have it because he said so. But it doesn't work because I said it. It works because you walk in it and you know it. Moke, stop playing with the phone. It's really distracting. Just got to be still for a little bit. Thank you. No, I'll be looking to see if it's going to fall on the floor again and just stop. Here's where we bring it home. Did you learn something? There's a preparation to walk in that peace. The peace is the criteria that we use to make decisions. Is there an enemy? Yes. We're supposed to go right through him. We're not supposed to fight him. We're not supposed to wrestle with him. We're not supposed to argue with him. We're not supposed to go back and forth with you. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to put the shield of faith up above all and walk straight through without stopping. Run him over. Mow him down. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I used to see that scripture because I always had this picture of fighting the devil or being attacked by the devil. I saw the scripture, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And I had this picture of having to fight gates. See, you're laughing because some of y'all did too. Yep, them gates going to come, but they ain't going to beat me. Since when the gates fight? Gates are to keep you out. And if the scripture said the gates of hell will not prevail against you, that means you coming against hell's gates. And they fail to keep you out. Okay, I'm supposed to go into hell. Run right through it. Destroy everything he got. Is that right? Well, if you want to take the man, strong man's house, you must first bind the strong man. This is all stuff Jesus said. Yeah, sometime I'm going to go up in his house and smack him upside his head and take something that he got in mind that he's supposed to have. Who told you could have that? And he see me coming, he start locking all the gates. And fasten up and send them on. And I start coming through and knocking them. Get that junk out of here, little plastic gate. Release that. That's not yours. And if you ever come up in my house and touch anything of mine again, I will bust your face off. Don't ever do it again. You don't have authority. And now I force authority. Now go sit your behind down over there. Sit down over there. You in timeout and don't move. I force authority. I have that authority. Say to somebody, I have that authority. Don't touch my stuff. Pastor out.